Well, it's a beautiful Sunday morning, isn't it?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. And I got to think there's probably a lot of people that are going to church today and going for all kinds of different reasons. And maybe a lot of them are just going because, you know, that's what you do on Sunday mornings. You have a habit going on, and you got to go to church at least once a week. So, got to think a lot of people are doing that. But what I want to share with you is what makes Christianity so thrilling and most exciting. You know, Christianity, our life with Christ within, should be the most exciting, most thrilling, most adventuresome activity that we could ever think or imagine. And it should be that way, I believe. We should have that, what I call Christian passion. And what I want to share with you this morning, I'm titling Show and Tell, Demonstrating Our Christian Passion. All right? And it's a developed passion. It's not like God fix, you know, all of a sudden you're all into God and that's it. You know, it develops, it grows into our life. We get born again of God's Spirit. We get filled with that Holy Spirit. And as we grow in the Word and understanding what we have in Christ, then we can apply it. We can use it. But what we really want to develop along these lines is a passion to live this Christian lifestyle, which is exciting. And I remember as a kid, I had a certain passion in my life, and I'm sure all of you through your years have certain passions that you might have, things that you're interested in, that you're into. Like Tiger Woods, what was his passion?
Golf.
Golf, yeah. I mean, everybody probably has something they've kind of gotten into. Well, for me, it was basketball as a young person, and I was pretty good. I wasn't what you might call a natural athlete, but I worked hard at it. I wanted to be the best, and I had the opportunity to play in college, and then afterwards in the Marine Corps, I was able to play for the Marine Corps team, and also through a series of events, was able to participate in the tryouts for the Pan American Games, the U.S. squad to play basketball, which was very satisfying to me to be able to do that. But you know what? The greatest joys in my life have come by doing Christian service. That's been the most thrilling thing in my life. And I think of one instance where a number of years ago I had the opportunity to be in a room with a bunch of Marines. And I was an officer, and these Marines were enlisted. I was in their barracks. Normally you don't do that, especially at night, unless you have a mission or, you know, you're getting them out on the out to march or do whatever. But it was an interesting thing that God set this all up. And these guys came in my office and said, I hear you teach the Bible. And I had no idea where they came from. Well, I knew where they came from later on. But they said, well, there's a bunch of Marines that are really hungry, want to know spiritual things. So so that was one of the greatest nights of my life. Because you know what happened that night? Some people got born again of God's Spirit. I don't know how many. We had a bunch of guys in there, and they really were soaking it up as I was sharing God's Word. And I think about that. I don't know if there's any greater thing that I could do for somebody than to help them with the words of life where they can be born again of God's Spirit. And this is a passion that I think if we could develop this, where we're just so on fire for the Lord, that we want to do his work. We want to do what he's called us to do. He's called us to be what? Ambassadors, right? For the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we are complete in him. And I think what makes it so exciting for us is what God has done for us. We identify fully and completely with Christ, don't we? It's not like, you know, God says, okay, you got to do this for me. Get on out there and teach and preach. No, he fills us with this gift of Holy Spirit. And he says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he gives us all these manifestations of Holy Spirit. He gives us all these wonderful abilities and equips us so that we can live the love of God. We can help people with the words of life. So I hope this morning I can inspire you to demonstrate your Christian passion in your life. Because God's going to work with you in a very unique and personal way. You're not going to do what I've done. But you will do what God works in your heart to do. And that's what we look forward to. You know, we look at different examples. But that example is not what you do, but what's behind that example. What motivates that? And it's got to be the passion to do God's word. Let's go to 1 Peter. Let's see what God has made us. Because he has equipped us and given us some great resources. And when you find out what he's done for you and who you are in him, it sure makes it really kind of easy to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to work for you. So, we're going to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And actually, I'm going to share from you the Amplified Bible, the version here. So 1 Peter 2:9, is that what I said?
Yeah.
All right, 1 Peter 2:9. Here's the Amplified. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're people of acquisition, it says in some of the translations. And God has bought us. What did he spend on you and I?
His son,
the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Man, with a price like that, think of the product that produces. It's you and me, Christ in us. And so, you know, we are this chosen race. We are a royal priesthood. We're dedicated to God. He's purchased us. We're a special people that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfection of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't that fantastic? He's made us all of these things so that we can set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, we are special before God. And it's really important for us to identify with that. You know, as we identify with that, we become Christ-like. You know, we are Christ people. I think of my brother Al Segovia. Now, Al Segovia, and anybody that knows him knows that his favorite athletic team is Los Angeles Dodgers. You know, he wears the uniform sometimes, and of course the Lakers. And, you know, the Dodgers won the World Series the last time, right? So you know what Al says? We won the World Series. We did it. We won the World Series. Now, did he play? Did he get up to the plate and hit the ball out of the park? Did he pitch? No. But he identified fully with that team. So he was a we. We did it. See? We've got Christ in us. So what can we do as Christ-like children? Yeah. Yeah. See that? We get excited about that. In light of having Christ within, we want to let that passion really work in our life. You know, we've been crucified with him. We died with him. We were buried with him. We were raised with him. If you had $1 million in the bank, how would you feel? How would you act? Would you be down and out and bummed out and where's my next meal going to come from? No. No, you'd be thinking about what five-star restaurant I'm going to eat at tonight. And regardless if you earned the money or if somebody put it in there for you, regardless, you still feel like a millionaire, right? Because you have that in you, in your bank. And we have Christ in us. Much more important than $1 million. You are someone very valuable and very important. And I want to share a story with you along these lines of how significant you are that hopefully you can relate to on how significant you are as a Christian. And this is a story about the Pope. Now, the Pope had a big meeting at the UN. They wanted him to speak to all the representatives from around the world that were meeting at the UN. So he flies to New York to do this, and as his plane was approaching New York, the weather was so bad they had to divert it to Newark, New Jersey. So, in light of this, they had to send him, this regular, simple guy, a limo driver, in a limo, obviously, to pick him up and drive him to the UN for his talk. Well, the driver picks him up, the Pope gets in the car, and they're driving to New York, to the UN building. And he looks at his watch, and the Pope said, "We got to get there. You got to put the pedal down here. We got to go because we're going to be late." And the guy's trying to go as fast as he can. And he finally says to the Pope, he says, "Listen, I've got several tickets. And if I get one more ticket, I lose my license. I just can't go any faster." And he says, "Well, we got to get there." He said, "Pull over." The guy pulls over. "I'm driving." So the Pope gets in the car, and the driver gets into the back seat. So the Pope is just going down the road as fast as he could, and, of course, goes whizzing by these policemen. You know, these two cops in a car, and they rush over, and they pull him over. And the one gets out, one cop gets out, and he knocks on the window, and the window rolls down, and he looks and sees who it really is, because the Pope's got all his garb on and stuff. And so he walks back to the car, and the other policeman says, "Well, aren't you going to write him a ticket?" No, I can't do that. I can't really do that." "You're not going to write him a ticket? That guy was way going too fast. He needs to have a ticket. And, you know, how important is he? Is this guy the mayor? He cannot be more important than the mayor." "Oh, yes. No, yeah, he's much more important than the mayor." "Now, wait a minute. He can't be more important than the governor. Is he the governor?" No. "But he's more important than that." "Wow. Yeah, you can't be any more important unless you're the president of the United States. Is he the president?" No, he's not. I'm not going to write him a ticket." "Now, wait a minute," the officer said. "He's not the president of the United States." And the guy who saw who it was driving the car, he says, "I don't know who the guy is, but the Pope is driving him." So I know that's kind of a silly story, but you are somebody special when Christ is in the driver's seat for you, huh? Yeah, let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. We have a choice in life, and we have the opportunity to live by the old man or the new man in Christ. You know, what will our passion be? So Galatians 2:20. This is quite a verse here. Galatians 2:20 says, "I am," or the text is, "I was crucified with Christ." This is part of our identity. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth where?
In
me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, this is something we can get passionate about in light of knowing what Christ has done for us, and we can live by the faith of the Son of God. Well, what kind of faith did he have, Jesus Christ? He had some great faith, and through what he did, his believing, his action, we have salvation, we have the new birth, we are new in Christ. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. You know, are we thinking that our life begins with ourselves? Really, our life begins at our new birth in Christ. You know, we can get passionate about. So let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, what does God want? He wants everybody to confess Jesus is Lord, right? To the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now let's look at that latter part of that verse. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, the words work out really means to demonstrate. It's not like you're going to work out and do the work for your salvation. That's already done. But to work out our salvation is to demonstrate it, to live it, to be it, to show and tell our salvation, our deliverance, with fear and trembling. Now, that doesn't sound too good, really, does it? Mm-hmm. You know, fear, like being afraid. But that's not what this means here. And this is the old English, King James, is what I shared with you. And the word fear is used to express awe and reverence. And this word trembling here is figuratively used to mean obedience. And in the Greek, Thayer's Greek lexicon, this word trembling in the Greek is defined as used to describe the commitment action of someone who, quote, religiously, end of quote, does his utmost to fulfill his duty. That's quite a definition, isn't it? And when you think about, we demonstrate our salvation, our deliverance, with great awe and respect and with great obedience, too. And this is where our Christian passion comes in. You know, we know what God has done for us. We know what's most important to him. You know, is it 1 Timothy 2:4? God wills that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Mm-hmm. That's what he wants. And we get to be his hands, his feet, his mouthpiece to make that come to pass. Verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to what? Yeah. To will and yeah. to do of his good pleasure. So God's going to work with you to do two things. One is to will, and to will is to have the desire, right? He's going to work with you to have that desire and to do of his good pleasure, which is all men saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So think about what this says. You know, someone once said, the ultimate thing a human does is hear God and obey. That's the ultimate thing that we could do. We hear God and we obey God. God works to do two things, to will and to do. And this will is that passion, that desire to do the work, to believe God, to know that he works mightily within you. A problem many believers have in light of this is knowing what God's desire or will is, you know, for their life. Because they think, well, God is way up here, and I am way down here, right? God's way up in heaven, and I'm down here, lowly person I am. But is that the truth of God's work? No, no. It's God in us, right? God in Christ in us. So can he work with us? Is there any kind of blockage in the communication? No, because he's in us. God and you are a beautiful partner. And we got to let God do the work. Sometimes we get so excited and try to do everything, we don't listen to God and we don't do what he would really want us to do. He will direct our steps. God does a lot of the stuff that we try to do, and we just need to listen and let him do his thing. There's a couple verses in Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel. I want to show you something here. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel, Daniel, right? Mm-hmm. So in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. Now, when we read this section, let's see what God wills and what we got to do. What's our part? Verse 24, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? Who's going to cleanse us?
God.
He will. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, God's doing most of the work here. What we do right there at the end is keep his judgments and do them. Just do his word. God's done all the work for us. We just need to listen to him and let him direct our steps, right? That's what we want to do. We muddy the water many times by our worldly plans that are not really clear. But if we get God talking to us and we act on it, it's going to be beneficial, isn't it? It's going to be profitable. We put forth our effort to put off the old man and build and cultivate our ability to listen to our Father. But we got to be careful we don't overdo it. God works harder to communicate with us than we do to listen, I think. If we can just have a passion of our relationship with God, knowing that he works within us and that we expect him to share with us, direct our steps, and that we will just follow what he says. And why not? You know, is there any greater passion than to work for our Heavenly Father? It was his passion to have us as his kids. So now we want to have our passion for him. So let's close here. Let's go back to Philippians and close here. The next few verses, we didn't read these in Philippians chapter 2. We did read verse 13. We'll read that again. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Why? Verse 15, that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. You know why we can be blameless and harmless? If we're listening to God and we're doing what he tells us to do and directs us, we can't miss. So, you know, we are those sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Yeah. Among whom you shine as what?
Lights
in the world by doing what? How do we shine as lights? Holding forth the word of life. That's our passion. Holding forth the word of life. That passion could be in the way of teaching. It could be in the way of living the word. Being the example by helping people, living the love of God. It is in so many ways it can be manifested, holding forth the word of life. Why? That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know, all the effort I did in basketball, I don't think that's going to produce much in the future here, you know? I won't see any future benefits from that. But that what I do for Christ, that what I do in my Christian passion to hold forth the words of life, to serve in the body of Christ, will that have some results in the future, fruit in the future? Yeah. So I could rejoice in the day of Christ when Christ comes back. He's coming back at any time, and then life really begins for us, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We rejoice in that day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So what a thrilling and exciting life we can live, right? Man, I know there's a lot of stuff going on in this world, and we get distracted on it. But if we could stay focused on showing and telling and demonstrating our Christian passion, we're going to have the most exciting, thrilling life you could ever have. Okay?
Amen.
Okay. Father, thank you for how you love us and care for us, how you work mightily within us, and that you do so much of the work that we just need to listen and follow your words. And I'm thankful, Father, that we can get excited about being your kids, about having Christ in us, and about sharing that with others in so many wonderful ways. So we love you, Father, and thank you that you would give us this privilege and opportunity to be in your family and to hold forth the words of life. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.